Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. It is Tuesday, July 21st, 2026. Hope you're all doing well. Apologies for a later episode start time today. Schedule got a little bit switched up, but programming note, I'm going to be making my first radio appearance on ESPN later, ESPN New York, the Michael Kay Show time slot. Michael Kay is off, and I'm going to be joining Jake Ashman at 1:30 p.m. Eastern time. But looking forward to that. Hope to see some of you guys there tuning in via the radio waves. But yo, let's get into some more trade deadline coverage. We're also going to talk about Jazz Chisholm Jr. and him possibly turning his season around and changing the narrative regarding his season. But I want to continue the trade deadline talk because a new trade candidate has possibly emerged for the Yankees. And it's one that all of a sudden has taken the forefront for what is my number one trade target. Come by the August 3rd trade deadline. We're now less than 2 weeks to go. So let's get right into it. Drop a like on the stream. Of course, we're live Monday through Friday here with the Morning Yankees show. It's Shea Langeliers. So the A's are crapping the bed as of late, and they're probably leaning towards being sellers at the trade deadline. And most of their young players, they have locked up to an extension. And here's where we get into this conversation. Why is this potentially a realistic scenario? And I know many would already be wondering, why would the A's trade Shea Langeliers? He's one of the best catchers in baseball, one of the best hitting catchers in baseball, has a damn good arm, was just on the All-Star team. He's great. Why would the A's try to trade him? Well, here's the thing. First things first, again, they're headed towards becoming sellers. Why could Shea Langeliers go? Well, he was offered an $80 million contract extension, reportedly, and he did not accept that. And it makes complete sense as to why he didn't accept that, because he is a Scott Boras client. They don't sign extensions, and they'll probably never be able to lock him up long term. So if you're the A's, you're not going to be able to send him to an extension in all likelihood. You already tried to, and it didn't work. His value is at an all-time high. His money is currently, he's at $5 million he's making in his first year of arbitration this year. Two more years of control after this. He's likely going to be making over $10 million next year. And then by year three, maybe towards 20, if not more. And we know the A's can be quite stingy when it comes to payroll. We know they're trying to lock up most of their young players. They're not going to be able to do that in all likelihood with Shea Langeliers. They're headed towards becoming sellers. And Langeliers' value is an all-time high. Reports are that they definitely would possibly be willing to listen to offers. And I'll tell you, you guys know I'm very much on the the Ryan Jeffers train. And I still like Jeffers a lot. Hunter Goodman, I like a lot. And the Yankees, of course, are going to be interested in Hunter Goodman of the Rockies. He would cost a lot. We don't even know if that conversation will get very far at all, because are the Rockies willing to trade him? What makes this now a story, what makes this now a conversation, is that there are reports out there, there are tea leaves to read that suggest this could actually be a possibility for the Yankees. And make no mistake, if Shea Langeliers is available, he's our number one trade target. That's what I'm trying to say here. I like Ryan Jeffers a lot. Shea Langeliers is number one. And the reason I get so excited about this is, again, because there's a realistic chance that this could possibly be a situation the Yankees could pursue. And if it's a situation they can pursue and an option that is available, you go out and do it. Shea Langeliers, he rakes. He's great with his arm. He's not a great framer. His blocking isn't amazing, but the Yankees, I trust, would be able to work on that. He can hit, though. For those listening on audio only later on, hitting 260, but with an 820 OPS, 123 WRC+, 22 homers, 50 RBIs. His pop time ranks in the 91st percentile. He's got one of the best arms in baseball. Again, the framing and the blocking isn't great. It's actually quite bad, but the Yankees are pretty good at, working those things out. For a mid-season acquisition for any catcher that is available, even honestly above Hunter Goodman, I may just prefer Shea Langeliers, period. But just talking about what is realistic right here, there's Jeffers, and then there might be Shea Langeliers. Between those two, just keeping it there, guys, this is our number one target. And as for a potential mock trade, what could you send back to the A's for Langeliers? I mean, listen, it would cost a lot because you got this year control, you got the next 2 years of control as well. So we're talking about 2.5 seasons for one of the best catchers in baseball. What could this possibly cost in return? You know the Yankees aren't going to be giving up George Lombard. I wouldn't give him up for Langeliers anyways. But it's going to cost a very steep package. And a package we're looking at that would include not Lombard, but LeGrande, Elmer Rodriguez, Will Warren. Here's my mock trade going back. Just not off the cuff, I've been thinking about it a little bit, but just put it out there as something that would be a quite representable offer to Oakland, Sacramento. LeGrande, Jason, Will Warren. And that's very similar to my package that I proposed for Mason Miller, which would also include those three plus Elmer Rodriguez. I don't think that's what it would take to get Langoliers, because, you know, there's part of this that is principle with, like, going out and getting a player that is has a lot of value, that I don't want to be like the classic Clint Frazier, Miguel and Duhar will get this deal done. I want to show respect that I am taking this seriously by offering a very hefty package. In the case of one of the best hitting catchers in baseball, one of the best catchers in baseball, period, 2.5 years of control, and a guy that, while they're open to possibly trading him, it's not a thing where they're just dangling him in front of teams being like, here, take him. You got to give up something to get something. We all know that. If it takes Carlos Lagrange, you do it. If it takes Will Warren, you do it. If it takes Jason Dominguez, you do it. Now, there gets to a point where you factor in like every single player that we're saying we're open to trading him, and it would get ridiculous. I'm not going to... Any player past George Lombard Jr., I want to be available. That doesn't mean you group 10 of your best prospects together all in one trade and send them to the A's. No, but in terms of what players are untouchable, I'll play along with that George Lombard isn't. I don't want to say I'll play along. I believe in George Lombard. And I've suggested including him in trades before, but also that's partly based off a principle, the idea of going all in. And Shane Langoliers, you likely would be able to acquire without giving up George Lombard Jr. It would cost a lot, but that would be a going all in move. There's an upper echelon tier here in the trade deadline of, see, he wants Langoliers too. There's an upper echelon of this deadline, which is the top players available that are borderline like pipe dreams. Skubal, I kind of lost interest in the whole thing. If he's available, I obviously, by default, will want Tarik Skubal. I don't think it's going to happen, so we'll probably stop talking about him, barring any new reports coming out over the next couple weeks. Mason Miller, I do really want him bad, and I stand by that. Listen, with how good the Yankees postseason rotation should be, health. And how great Bednar's been. And the bullpen, credit where it's due. The Yankees have put together a bullpen. This might be their best and most representable work this year in crafting a bullpen. They really have done a good job. There needs to be upgrades regardless. But if you were to add Mason Miller, like, that would shorten games in the postseason to the point of absurdity, to where, you know, your worst start in the playoffs is Carlos Rodon. And even then, you could essentially have a game where Carlos Rodon, it's not unrealistic to think your fourth starter, even him, could go six innings, give the ball to Bednar, Bednar gives the ball to Mason Miller, or something along those lines. So that's why just the idea of postseason play, Mason Miller very much intrigues me. And not to mention, you would have him for a couple years of control. But that is neither here nor there. I bring this up because there's players that we could acquire in this deadline that would be like, oh, shit. Langoliers is in that category. And now that there's enough smoke or just tea leaves, reports out there that this could possibly be a thing, and Yahoo Sports had it, there's been a lot of reports coming out from like the A side of things, that at the very least, this is a possibility. And it gets to a point where talking about it in that sense, that it's a possibility, the more and more I talk about it, has me thinking, there's a legitimate shot this could get done, because we know the Yankees are getting a catcher. We know that. Jeffers, Hunter Goodman, a lot of people keep mentioning, which ward up, Hunter Goodman's great. The Rockies probably aren't trading him. I don't even know what that package would look like. The Rockies would probably be fools to trade him. The A's would not be fools to trade Langoliers, though, for everything I mentioned previously. He's a Boris client. He's not signing an extension. And he just turned down, apparently, an $80 million extension. He's already making $5 million this year. That number's only going to go up and up. Next year, probably making close, if not more, than $10 million by the time he hits his third-year arbitration. It might be 15 to 20, if not more than that. We know how the A's get about payroll. They're quite stingy financially. And his value is at an all-time high. They're on their way to becoming sellers, if not already. Almost every single box here has been checked, capped by the fact of, cherry on top, that he didn't sign that extension. He turned that down. And it came really at the perfect time. Apparently, that was an in-season offer that the A's gave him, extension-wise, that he turned down of $80 million. It's almost kind of becoming the perfect storm here. And part of that is this play. Been great. Capitalizing on his value, the A's would likely want to do. Perfect storm of all of a sudden Shea Langoliers could be available for the Yankees. Then you start to think about the lineup. I mean, again, you look at his offense, just put it simply with OPS, if that's your stat of choice, 820 OPS, WRC plus 123, 22 homers. Shea Langoliers, right-handed bat. You think about where he could place in this lineup. I mean, in all likelihood, we're looking at a guy that would at least be batting in, I mean, let's just say Judge comes back, which he should come back. He said he's definitely coming back. That's the expectation. Stan, I don't know. If you don't want to bank on Stan's return, fair. If you don't want to bank on Judge's return, I can't blame you, I guess, because some people want to lower their expectations so they don't get hurt. Everything that we've heard is telling us that Aaron Judge will at some point be back this season. So just operating off of that assumption for a minute, our 1-9, I mean, leading off, you'll still have Trent Grisham, which, given all their options, is our best way to go. Grisham 1, Rice 2, Judge 3, Bellinger 4. I got Langoliers probably in the 5 spot. Or you could do Grisham 1, Judge 2, Rice 3, Langoliers 4, Bellinger 5. I do think the Yankees like having Bellinger protect Judge. And in fairness, despite Bellinger being really poor play as of late offensively, although he's starting to pick it up, when he's with Judge, he does do a great job protecting him in the 3 spot or wherever you put him. Nonetheless, though, Shane Langoliers, you acquire him. This isn't a thing where, oh, like, Ryan Jeffers is great. I like Ryan Jeffers a lot. If we get him, I'll be hyped. I want other moves, too. But Langoliers, not only is it a thing where, yo, by default, you're improving your catcher offense, Ryan Jeffers would rake, and he does rake. He's one of the better offensive hitting catchers in baseball. But Langoliers, it's not a thing where you acquire him and you're, like, posting at the lineup where he's batting 7th or 6th. Like, you get Langoliers, you bat him 5th, if not 4th. And then all of a sudden, Jazz becomes your 6th hitter. You'd have Caballero batting 9th, which he already is, but just the depth of the lineup, particularly with Aaron Judge returning, you acquire Langoliers. The lineup could look quite deep. And then, of course, years to come, you get 2 years of control, which is why it's going to cost so much. It'll cost a lot. But ultimately, the way I see it is everybody's available besides Lombard. And given how aggressive apparently the Yankees are being in terms of adding a catcher, which makes sense because Wells has been dreadful. 2 hits last night. Good for him. But I don't think the Yankees are playing around when it comes to acquiring a catcher that they truly do like. Now, also, more of a long-term question. I don't think it would play a role too much into this deadline. But if you get Langoliers, that's not a thing where, all right, Wells, we'll see you next year as a guy that's competing for a job. Langoliers is your catcher the next 2.5 seasons if you do acquire him. So then Olsen Wells, all of a sudden, his future not only is in doubt, but it's kind of like certified as he is not the Yankees starting catcher for the next couple years. Maybe he even could go in a trade this deadline. I doubt that would happen because his value is so low, but maybe in the offseason, whatever it may be, I have no issues with Wells as the second catcher, as the backup catcher. That is totally fine. You get Langoliers, he's playing every single day in the postseason anyways. This is a possibility. This is something that more than anybody else, combined with hype of how good he is and hype of a realistic possibility it could happen, all that into one, this is now my new number one for this trade deadline. He's above Mason Miller. He's above Tarek Skubal. Again, in part because this just seems a lot more tangible than the other two. And he's above, obviously, Ryan Jeffers, who I'm not all of a sudden off the Ryan Jeffers train. Don't get me wrong. But now that this is a possibility, until it's not, this is at the forefront. Shea Langoliers. I think the Yankees are going to make the phone call. I think they're going to be quite aggressive in trying to go out and get him. Again, what would it take? Quite a steep package. But LeGrande, you have so much controllable starting pitching. I would send them Will Warren easy. I would send them Elmer Rodriguez if they want to. I think Elmer's guaranteed to be gone this deadline if I had to guess. Which, word up, capitalize on that value. I don't want LeGrande holding up a trade. Maybe the A's don't like LeGrande all that much. Okay, that'd be odd, even with his shoulder injury. But you got a lot of controllable starting pitching. You can also send them Jason Dominguez, who still has a little bit of value left. And the report came out the other day that the Yankees are willing to do Jason and Spencer in a trade, like, obviously. And it's a shame. Like, their value has come down a lot from what it used to be. But I'm not looking at a thing where, oh, send them Jason Dominguez to acquire Shea Langoliers. It's about the entire package and as a whole. And if you're putting together LeGrande, Jason, Will Warren, Elmer Rodriguez, some guys out, some guys in, whatever you want to do, the Yankees have the prospects, bottom line, to get this deal done without including George Lombard. And it's very much a possibility he gets traded, Shea Langoliers. So all those things being considered, and how aggressive they apparently are being about adding a catcher this deadline, and this one, I must have a package. I'm sure he can find his way in. But I want Shane Langoliers. He is number one on my trade deadline target list. And I am pretty firm on that. Let me know how you guys feel in the live chat. Also, if you're watching on replay, in the comment section down below. But yeah, I want to go all in. I want this to happen. And we got now less than 2 weeks until the deadline, August 3rd at 6 p.m. We should start to hear a lot of rumors filing in for a lot of things. We know catcher. We know the Yankees do want to add at least a reliever or two. And ideally, we get 2 bats this deadline. Will they? Not so sure about that. But at the very least, if you get one, if it happens to be Shea Langoliers, that would change some things. You get Judge back. Freed, of course, this is on the pitching conversation, but Freed is coming back probably as soon as next week. All of a sudden, things could be looking up very quickly. I want Shea Langoliers. Now, speaking of the trade deadline, I had talked about a lot, and I don't want to be a total fraud with this, but I'm going to be pretty transparent. I'm in a weird spot because I definitely, like many other humans, I am victim to recency bias, the fallen victim of the moment, whatever you want to say. And Jazz Chisholm Jr. hit 2 home runs last night after his go-ahead home run he had on Sunday night to win us a game. We always talk about it with Jazz. The highs are extremely high. The lows can also be pretty damn low. And I have mentioned often that I want to acquire Luis Arraez. I don't want to all of a sudden be like, oh, because Jazz has had a couple homers, that I am off the Luis Arraez train. I don't want to be totally a fraud. But I do want to acknowledge that it is possible that Jazz could still turn a season around. And all of a sudden, not that this is all about stats, it's not. But all of a sudden, Jazz's OPS is up to 726 after a two-homer game last night in the Yankees' 8-5 win over the Pirates. WRC Plus back over league average at 102, 16 homers, 26 stolen bases. I, just to sum up my thoughts overall on Jazz, again, the highs are always high, the lows can be pretty damn low. And there are times where he does look mentally checked out at second base. There's times where it seems like he doesn't give a shit. Doesn't mean he doesn't, but there's times that it does feel that way. And we'll hear from Jazz post-game last night, but there's often situations where he sounds very mature. And lately, I think he's been doing a good job in the post-games, sounding very accountable. He's been saying a lot of the right things. And, you know, after the Tampa Bay game, he was talking about how he kind of told everybody in a pregame meeting, Max Schumann talked about it too, that we got to start playing more as a team and we got to start doing more things like getting the runner over and making things happen. And like, that was great stuff. The other night, Jazz was very accountable and saying he's sucked all season long. Look at the stats. I've been terrible. The thing with Jazz is after he has a good game, he often will talk in a way that has you being like, oh, that was quite pleasing to hear, Jazz. Good job. But then when things go poorly, when he's not starting a game against Boston or when he gets ejected a few weeks ago and then doesn't speak to the media, when things go poorly for Jazz, that's often when, I don't say he shows you who he really is, because who he really is could be the guy that we see when he has success. Like last night, his post-game interviews were great. We're about to hear from him in a second. Here's what I want from Jazz. And this goes into the conversation, too, of maybe Luis Arraez was never happening, period. But the report, by the way, this is from John Heyman, is that the Yankees do not plan on trading Jazz before the trade deadline. That doesn't come so much as a shock to me, because the trade fits would be very thin anyways. Like maybe we could do something with San Diego, I don't know. But I never automatically thought if they acquire Luis Arraez, that means Jazz is gone. It would just be like, how do you make that work? And that was part of the conversation too, because like Jazz would probably be, to be honest, probably a diva about it. Like if he wasn't playing or was playing third, like he would cause a situation, going into being a free agent, all that. But the Yankees apparently really like Jazz. And I do understand why to a degree. Look at the second baseman rankings. He's up there in war. He's taking one of the better second basemen at a very weak position, especially in the American League. What I want from Jazz is for him to do anything to help the team win. By that I mean get on, make things happen, steal bases, which he's done, 26 stolen bases this year. But he didn't get on base enough for that to be all that much of a all-redeeming factor, his stolen bases. But when he does get on, he makes things happen. I like the home runs. Home runs are good, but I need a two-strike approach as well. Once you get to two strikes, just try to put the ball in play. Try to get on. Jazz is very athletic. Jazz is very dynamic. All I want him to do is, one, act like he give a shit, which I know he does. At least I think he does. But there's times it comes off that he doesn't. Perform and help this team win, whatever way that is, whether it's in two home runs against Pittsburgh, go ahead shot on Sunday, or making great plays in the field, stealing bases, making things happen. Like, we see the good with Jazz all the time. Then we also see the bad, and it's so easy. It is very easy to fall out of love with Jazz. It's pretty easy also, too, to fall back in love with them, like last night. So where am I at with them? It seems like if I had a guess right now, Yankees probably won't acquire Luis Arraez. If I just had a guess, I don't know. And they like Jazz. Jazz is our second baseman going forward, let's just say, the rest of the season. Well, you can still turn this around. Numbers-wise, too, I mean, the OPS, who really gives a crap, but like just talking individual stats, for Jazz this season, if he has a good next couple months, he could honestly still find himself back at an 800 OPS by season's end, or at least a respectable season going into free agency. But what I'm asking for is just like lock the hell in, yo. No more mental mistakes, no more BS. Help us win games, and that's all we care about. Like at first I had the tagline here on the bar saying, Jazz can still turn around his Yankee legacy. But I know people be weird about that, and like legacy, like I mean more than I do. I mean, like, I don't think he's going to be back in free agency this year. I think he's probably wrapped up as a Yankee following this year. We'll see, but I think that's probably the case. His mark on the Yankees and what he can do, all I care about, any of us care about is helping the team win. He can still do that. He can help us win a World Series by locking the hell in. Here's Jazz after last night's win, two-homer game. Mostly questions. There's two questions here. It's about 45 seconds worth of sound. Just about like pressure on himself and turning point in the season, all that. Here's Jazz.
How would you describe your season prior to today?
It sucked. I sucked all season.
And why?
I mean, the numbers speak for themselves.
That was not the right soundbite. Let me play the one that I meant to play. But hey, that was a good one from the other night too. Here's the one that I meant to play after Monday night's win.
Do you feel like you're turning a corner in a way over the past couple of games? Like, what are you feeling like at the plate?
I just want to win. Honestly, that's all I'm feeling. Like, I'm going up there and trying to just help my team win. Like, I'll be honest with you. The first at bat, I wasn't trying to hit a home run. I was just trying to hit a fly ball to the outfield, get the run in, just small things like that. And, you know, I feel like us coming together and talking about certain stuff and realizing that we do this as a team and everybody just play their game because none of us is Aaron Judge, you know? So, yeah, I feel like that helped a lot.
So here's the thing. I like the way that post-game interview sounded, and I stand by it. Yo, if Jazz is going to be our second baseman going to the postseason, word up, play well, perform, cut all the BS, no mental mistakes, and like, let's go. Let's win some games. Help us win a World Series. That sounds great. But the post-game interview, you'll hear Jazz talk like that when things are going well. And that's a case with a lot of human beings, you know? Like, you have a good day, or like, you all of a sudden lock in, you figure shit out, and all of a sudden you're giving people advice. All of a sudden you're telling people like, oh, I realized I just got to do this because you had a good day. I realized I just have to handle myself this way and everything will work out. But then you don't repeat that same process. And then the next day, or maybe you do repeat the same process. But the next day you go over 4, you have a bad day. And all of a sudden you revert back to your previous habits, which is sometimes acting like a diva, not talking to the media, turning your back on the media because you didn't plan a certain day. I want that Jazz all the time. After he goes over 4, after he makes an error at second base, after he doesn't know how the game of baseball works, like we saw in Tim Bay a few months ago. If Jazz would just cut out all that crap and just be that guy that we saw in the postgame last night where he's seemingly coming off as, and he very well could be, I think he is, a team guy, somebody who is very focused on winning. All he cares about is winning. Even the specifics he mentioned with getting a runner over from third and getting the run in, like, there's times where I don't believe that is the case. There's times it does feel like Jazz is just trying to hit a home run. Lately, he's been a little bit better with it, where it does feel like he's applying some more situational hitting. And that's awesome. I want more of that. I want this guy all the time. I don't mean the guy that hits 2 home runs every single night or nothing like that. I want somebody to help us try to win and do your best to win, whether it's homers, base stealing, defense, everything. Be locked in. But also, the way he talks in the postgame last night, that's great. But it seemingly only comes after he does well in the previous game. I want that Jazz when things aren't going well. I want that Jazz when things don't go your way, offensively, defensively, because those things happen. It's baseball. Or if you're not playing, whatever it may be. That's my thing with Jazz. And it's almost a thing where, you know, you find out who somebody really is at their worst. But I don't think Jazz is a bad dude. I think he could be a little bit immature sometimes. And it is my place to speak on that because, trust me, I get it. Jazz can be so great. Jazz can be one of the best second basemen in baseball. He technically is, but he can be a lot better than a 726 OPS. I think he'd be a lot better than an 833 OPS that he had last year. He could be not 30-30, he could be 40-40. He could be a 6-war second baseman, not a 4-war second baseman. And he's probably headed towards a 4-war this year too. But if Jazz is going to be on the Yankees for the rest of this year, I welcome it. Just lock in. Play well. No more mental mistakes. No more BS. Act like you give a shit, please. I beg you. That was a great game by him last night, though. And he's now helped us win a couple games in a row. Rays did win last night. They beat the Blue Jays. Blue Jays stink. Red Sox won again, 14 straight. But Yankees won again, too. So we're a game and a half back entering play tonight. Game 2 against the Pirates. It'll be right-hander Bubba Chandler, who's a, let's see, what are his numbers really quick? He was a 3.9477 ERA. To be honest, not much I can tell you other than that. Will Warren will go for the Yanks. Did have a couple good starts to close out the first half, which was nice. Hope we can just keep us in the game. I mean, Ryan Weathers crapped the bed yesterday. Yesterday's game was insane. I mean, offense early, then it settled down for a little bit. It was back and forth. I don't want to give any like compliment to Ryan Weathers because in the end that was a bad start, but it did seem like he was going to come out in like the third inning yesterday, and that would have been a disaster because the Yankees were coming off a doubleheader and a bullpen game, and a doubleheader that they did not use their 27th man in Elmer Rodriguez, so we were so short in the bullpen. Weathers at the very least does pitch a 2 outs into the fifth, so I guess some credit where it's due, but he was bad last night. Hopefully Warren's better tonight. Got to shout out Angel Trevihi, by the way. He has just continued to be really good in his small sample size here as a Yankee since coming back up off the IL. He's been good. Good again last night. Goes an inning and a third, scoreless. Brent Hedrick has been one of the best relievers in baseball this year. Fernando Cruz with the save last night. Bullpen continues to be really good. Really good. I mean, nobody gave up a run last night, right? No, I don't think so. Yeah. All 5 were charged to Weathers. Weathers wasn't good. Thanks for pitching us at least 2 outs in the fifth. I appreciate it. Will Warren needs some length from you tonight. And by length, I mean get us through 5. Maybe even complete 6. We'll see how the offense does again tonight against Bubba Chandler. Now, remember, too, offensively, the Yankees for a good while this season, something that was so exciting was they were hitting good pitching. And that went away for a bit. They weren't hitting anybody. But Braxton Ashcraft, he was an all-star. He was one of the best pitchers in baseball going to that start last night. Yanks put up what, 6 runs against them, 7 runs against them? I know the one was earned in the first, but after that, I mean, mostly due to Jazz, like they just destroyed them. So that was a good win last night. Keep it going. Got to keep winning games. Got to make sure you win this series. And taking game one, that was very satisfying. But yo, let me know in the comment section below. First of all, drop a like on the stream if you don't mind. That's about a great deal. We're available on podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, live Monday through Friday. But let me know about Shea Langeliers in the comment section, how you guys feel about this. It's a very much a realistic possibility because the A's are apparently going to be listening to offers. And as long as that's the case, Yankees should be all in. I expect them to be all in, legitimately so. This may be in a shill. I really do expect them to be all in on Shea Langeliers. And that'll be box office. That is our new number one trade target. Make it known. Shea Langeliers of the Sacramento A's. See you soon, my friend. I look forward to your services. That'll do it for this episode. Hope you all have a great rest of your day. Again, I'll be on my first radio spot at 1:30 p.m. with Jake Ashman on ESPN. Filling in for the Michael Kay Show. But yeah, I'll hopefully see you guys later then. Or you'll hear me on the radio waves. Till then, yeah, have a great rest of your day. And I'll see you guys next time. I got to run now because we got BT coming up soon. Baseball Today. On JM Baseball. That'll do it for this episode. See you guys next time. Let's go, Yanks.